Schaefer in for the vacationing Mary Walter.
Good morning, Vince. Good. Hey, thank you for having me. And you all have the best coffee in town. That's the only reason I come here. You do know that.
Wow. That's high praise.
That's right.
Nice. At least something's good here. Let's talk to Dan Bongino, former NYPD guy, former Secret Service guy, and frequent guest here on Mornings on the Mall. Dan, good morning.
Hey, Dan.
Wait, I got to stop you guys right away. Because last time I was there was a Keurig machine. What, did something change with the coffee? Because, Tony, I don't know.
It's part of my contract. You know, I won't come in unless I get, you know, like something gourmet. So, you know, they have a
special delivery.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm looking over. He brought his coffee in from out of the office today, Dan. Let's talk about some serious news. Yesterday, in New York City, that terrorist attack, which thank God didn't claim anybody's life, including the terrorist. What was your initial reaction to all of it, including the immigrant status of this terrorist yesterday, Dan?
Well, you know, the story broke, obviously, very early. But, you know, there were a couple of things there that lead you to believe always that it's going to have some nexus to terror. You know, this constant threat, Vince, to transportation networks. I mean, transportation networks are the blood vessels of a city organism. And if you can hit those transportation networks, you can put the terror. Obviously, the goal of terrorism is to inspire terror in people. You can frighten people. I mean, in New York City, Vince, you've been up there. Tony, you've been up there. You know how it is. I mean, it's very difficult to travel around by car. Most people get in by train or by bus or some other way. And if you can consistently hit those networks, you can put that fear into people. And that's obviously the goal of these savages to do that. So, you know, being a native New Yorker myself and having been a New York City cop and being intimately familiar with that area, I mean, it was a story that really, you know, it hurts. I mean, it hurts everybody to see this stuff continue to happen, but especially in a great city like New York.
I was struck by the profile of this guy and his actions here for any number of reasons. One, he came in under chain migration. It was his uncle who came in under a diversity lottery visa from Bangladesh. And then meanwhile, he's ISIS-inspired, and he chose the target specifically because of the Christmas theme in the corridor. Immigration problems, war on Christmas. Yeah. You literally have it all. I mean, this guy's out of Donald Trump's, you know, central casting for nefarious actors. What's going on here?
Yeah, and I mean, there are still liberals who live in the bubble that are still wondering why Donald Trump won the election when he ran, I mean, almost exclusively at some points on immigration. You know, we're a compassionate country, Vince. Everybody is. That's why I get tired of, you know, after these terror attacks, everybody, we're going to worry about an outbreak of massive Islamophobia. It's not going to happen. This is the United States. Everybody understands. This is an isolated small group of idiots. Everybody gets that. I get tired of the lectures. But one of the things I also get tired of the lectures about is on immigration, about how every time someone says something sensible, like, hey, maybe we need to look at this chain migration. Maybe it's not the best way to bring the best and brightest to the United States. Oh, my gosh, we're not a compassionate country anymore. Are you serious? You know how many millions of people we brought into the United States over decades from poor countries, giving them a better life? Maybe it's time now to say, okay, time out. Let's throw the red flag for a minute and say, we've brought a lot of people in. Let's allow people some time to assimilate and go with more of a, for a while at least, let's go back to a points-based system, a merit-based system, and let's stop this chain migration, which, by the way, Vince, mathematically doesn't work.
Right.
Because you have a geometrically growing number of people who then have a claim on American citizenship based on who's here first in America. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, Dan, I want to talk about the other bad policy bookended here by our liberal friends who run the city of New York. Mayor de Blasio and others have been trying to put pressure on your old organization, and I'm sure you have friends there as I do, the NYPD. What is up with them constantly trying to get the police to give up their quote-unquote technology and techniques of how to keep the people of New York safe? Why do they do that?
This is one of those things, and the political correctness is just run amok to the point where it may actually be getting people killed.
Exactly.
You know, they destroyed a long time ago. The NYPD had the demographics unit, which was a unit that would go out into some of these neighborhoods that happened to have people who had been radicalized in the past, and they would gather information. You know, Tony, this is you were an intel guy, right? When you were in the military,
we did something similar in Brooklyn, out of Fort Hamilton. I know what you're talking about exactly. Yeah, I mean, but the idea is to know you're not accusing anybody. You're trying to understand the situation. And again, my point to you is your job when you're NYPD is to protect the citizens of New York, and you constantly have politicians trying to stop you from doing that.
They're putting obstacles in the way. And I mean, none of this is just what's so ridiculous, how they fall into the PC trap. I mean, right. If you were investigating the Russian mob, you go to neighborhoods that have, you know, conglomerations and gatherings of Russian people who may be in the mob. It's not anti-Russian. It's investigative common sense.
That's right. You don't go check out the Amish in Pennsylvania if you're rushing, investigating the Russian mob. That's right.
It's just silly. I mean, our listeners are probably laughing, but that's what happens anytime you mention someone who was radicalized into this perverse form of this religion that they, oh my gosh, we can't go investigate people who live in neighborhoods that may have Arabic populations or Persian populations or may have a mosque in there. God forbid. Well, God forbid what? Nobody's right. saying everybody's involved in it. It's just investigative common sense.
Well, Dan, if it was Russian terrorists, I feel like there's quite a few Democrats who'd be for racial profiling at this moment, at least.
You know what, Vince? That's a great point.
Dan,
you just nailed it.
Dan, let's talk to you in a moment here. I want to hold you over. There's a lot more to hit with you. I'm talking to Dan Bongino. He's a former Secret Service agent and the author of a new book, Protecting the President. Dan also worked with the New York City Police Department for 4 years. And Dan, you know, we've been talking to you a bit about the terrorist attack, but I want to move to the special election in Alabama today. A lot of people in the press have been trying to read the tea leaves. What does this mean about the Republican Party if Roy Moore wins in Alabama, a state, by the way, where Republicans always win the Senate races there? What do you think it means if Roy Moore wins today?
Well, I think it means that the Democrats, the Bill Clinton curse has really come back full circle on them. And, you know, I think Ben Shapiro summed this up the best, and one of the better pieces I've read on this entire dilemma. You know, most Republicans out there, even avid Roy Moore supporters, will say, all right, you know, a lot of these accusations are credible. Some of them aren't. Obviously, you have the woman who admitted faking the yearbook, which probably doesn't add to her case. But he says, listen, this is the classic prisoner's dilemma. I mean, if you're a Republican, for years you've been told morals don't matter, right, Vince? I mean, since the Bill Clinton generation, you've been told, oh, none of this matters. It's the policies in office only that matter. Disregard their personal proclivities towards sin or whatever it may be. So what happened? Well, that's not the case. That wasn't the rule that was applied to Republicans. That was only the rule that was applied to Democrats. If you were a Republican and you sniffled wrong, you were thrown out of office. So now we're left with a bunch of Democrats where morals don't matter, and Republicans where if you're not St. Michael, you're thrown out of office. So I think Republicans in this election in Alabama, if Moore wins, are just like, hey, you know what? Screw it. You know what? If morals don't matter, then we're just going to elect Republicans too where morals don't matter. At least we'll save a few babies and cut our taxes in the process. I mean, think about it. It's a perfectly reasonable response to what the Democrats have done to the process.
Well, I agree with you, and I think, Dan, that the boomerang came back on them. I mean, I think they went after one guy and ended up turning the light on themselves. But with that said, though, they're trying to lay the groundwork here to go after, you know, the president. I mean, they've drum up again. I'm always amazed. Yesterday, I cringed when Megyn Kelly rolled out a bunch of the accusers, quote-unquote. So, where does this end? Where do you think this is all going to have to go now based on this constant drumbeat from the left?
Well, it's always been a sick and cynical plot to get rid of Trump. I mean, they started with collusion. That's not working out. Now they're moving on to obstruction. That's probably not going to work out either. So next it'll be, again, bringing out all these accusations against Trump. You know, the difference here, Tony, when you look at the Franken incident, who had resigned but still hasn't left, actually.
Yeah.
And you look at Trump denies it. I mean, Trump denies it, and a lot of the people who made these accusations have not come back and made these accusations again. Some have, some haven't. But when you look at the accusations against Franken, these weren't, we had photographic evidence of really sick, deranged behavior. You know, he denies it happened. I'm not going to lie to the audience. I've been a supporter of the president. I endorsed Cruz early, but I like the president later on. I think he's doing a good job. And I just don't think these, after the collusion nonsense, I think this is just the cynical ploy by them to get rid of him.
And the mainstream press's reporting failures over the past week especially have made it even harder for them to make a convincing case against him. You have the president within the last hour tweeting the following: despite thousands of hours wasted and many millions of dollars spent, the Democrats have been unable to show any collusion with Russia. So now they're moving on to the false accusations and fabricated stories of women who I don't know and or have never met. Fake news. Dan Bongino, thanks very much for swinging by Mornings on the Mall this morning. Always good to have you, sir.
Thanks, Dan.
Got it, guys. Have a good day. 7:50.